Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All right, second hour today of Political Coffee, friends, where we have the opportunity, all of us, to have conversations that are really important about, well, our lives, our daily lives, and everything that we're doing here. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. In a moment, we're going to chat with my friend Mark Cosby, who was at the little melee at the state capitol yesterday, about his eyewitness account of it. But, friends, let me just quickly tell you what we're talking about. It's not about Trump, folks. It's about you. What happens, and this came from a listener who sent me an email. The listener asks, what if all fails and we cannot trust elections, courts, or politicians? What do we do? What's left? Revolution? Also, I'll get into this hour at some point, history repeating itself. The Democrats using Marxist tactics from the 1917 Russia Revolution to steal the 2020 election. Oh, and the pork COVID bill that I am urging, and I hope you join me in urging Donald Trump to veto, gives $1,800 to illegal aliens, but you only get $600. And hundreds of billions to foreign countries. Not just the $33 million to Venezuela, but how about $10 million to Pakistan for gender programs? No kidding. Oh, there's a lot more. Also, in Oregon, Kate quietly ended the religious gathering limits. You know, that's where she said that you could only have 25 people in a church, but you could have 200 people in a Home Depot store. Well, she quietly ended that. Why? Because of all the U.S. Supreme Court rulings striking those things down in other states. But here's what it is. It's another signal, folks, that she is worried about her legacy or running for a higher office in 2022, or even angling for an appointment to the Biden administration, which I don't think is going to happen. By the way, a federal judge confirms the existence of Hammer and Scorecard. You know, those two CIA programs that don't exist. And then finally, the Epoch Times great reporter, Joshua Phillips, folks. I include the link, and all of this is already up on my Facebook page. I include the link to watch his daily YouTube broadcast, and it is full of very good information. Why? Because out of that, you can learn how to change your world by persuading the persuadable. Let's go to my friend Mark Cosby, who joins me right now. Mark, good morning, friend. How are you this fine day?
Good morning, Jeff.
You were at the Capitol yesterday.
Doing pretty good.
So tell me what you saw at the Capitol yesterday.
All right. So I got there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I left probably a quarter to 4 when they finally opened up the street. So starting in the morning, it was pretty friendly. You thought we were going to a basketball game. Now, I told you some things last night on the telephone, and I'm willing to retract some of that back, but citizens have every right to demand to be in that building. And I go back to when the state legislators, the senators, had walked out in the 2019 session, and a bunch of us were at the Capitol on Sunday. But the Democrat legislators were sitting at their desks on the floors of the House and the Senate with nothing to do, and they wouldn't let us in. And they did finally let us in. It was civil. But they said all kinds of negative things about us. They were scared of the people that were carrying guns. Well, no different yesterday. We had people that were carrying guns, which is their right. And, but we had, these were mostly people in their 40s, 50s, 60s. The business people, they want to see Oregon opened up. These are informed people. They've been following what's been happening for years up in Portland with the rioting in the streets and the blatant standing down of Mayor Ted Wheeler standing the officers down. Now, I've talked to officers personally down here in Lane County, and they don't go to Portland anymore to back up civility on the streets because of the stand downs. They see the double standards.
Mm-hmm.
I told you last night that the police incited and elevated the attitudes there, and they did. Also, I never got inside the building. Now, people were loud and visible on the inside of the building once they got
in.
Yeah,
there's lots of video out there about that, Mark. On the Breitbart website, they have numerous videos of inside and outside of the building, of your contemporaries who were there with you yesterday, some armed and some not.
Oh. Yeah. Well, there was one guy got – he was wearing body armor. And he got arrested. Now, I don't know what the police seen him do. The guy's on the south side of the building, going over with a video camera and kicking in the glass door. I'm sorry if I'd have been there.
They shouldn't have done that.
If I'd have been there, they wouldn't have done that. I didn't see that. That was
you didn't see it. You weren't there.
No. But as the police came to the door and encountered people, I was off probably 20 yards away. This was on the house side, and there's two side doors in there. They had two big screen TVs set up that we could watch from. Well, you're not going to get up to 200 people standing around watching screens outside. When Herman Birchsugar and the senators were walked out, they actually let us go in and stage in overflow rooms to watch the session. The Democrat senators sitting there twiddling their thumbs because there was no quorum. They didn't respect this group this time. These are business people. These are good people. And they wanted their voice heard. I've seen about four bad acts. And a minor one being they swung the gate open. And they took the plastic off the columns.
Yeah, there's a video of that, too. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I mean, I a little bit laughed at it. The SWAT team didn't storm them and pepper spray them for stripping the plastic off of those columns to see if the graffiti that Antifa put on there 3 months ago was on those columns or not. They cleaned up the graffiti, and then they sealed it over. Because they figured a certain element of society would come back and do more damage. And they just, for security reasons, they did that. And they left that fence up. Well, the fence wasn't damaged at all. They just opened it up like a gate and went in.
Now who opened up the fence? Well, that was our people that opened up the fence?
It was our pretty much best I know, it was our people. I was standing just to the west of that. At the time, talking to a guy who'd been pouring water on the eyes of a gal that got pepper spray drift. There was wind, swirling winds up there that probably 5 to 10 mile an hour at varying times anyway. So some people got pepper sprayed at the door, and apparently she got some pepper spray from wherever she was at. And this guy was pouring water. He got shot in the thigh. Now, this guy
got shot in the thigh with what?
With a paintball gun.
Paintball gun. Okay.
Which, you know, it stings. So I was talking to him out on the sidewalk, and he said, I've forgotten how much those hurt. I mean, he wasn't necessarily mad at the cops. He wasn't mad at, you know, but that wasn't very becoming at all. So, I mean, obviously he was rendering aid to somebody. He didn't need to be shot in the leg. But anyway, I was watching that when they opened up the fence and went in and threw the plastic off. I kind of find it ironic, and you and I were at the war 2016 at a pro-Trump rally, and Antifa was there, and they came down and they circled us, and people played Capture the Flag. We had patriots that focused on Antifa coming down there. The police had us totally circled with bikes, and people were reaching over and playing games, grabbing at each other's flags. I'm not entertained with that. And I never had an incident, but we heard about damage up there on the front steps. The local Democrat Party, as I understand it, they had the front steps of the Capitol. They stood there in eyesight of a police officer, couldn't have been 100 yards away from them, and they allowed two demonstrators to go up and paint stuff on the columns of the wall, or the buttresses of the front steps. And they just stood there and said, we didn't know what to do.
Huh.
Now,
yeah.
There comes at some point in your adult life that you've dealt with two-year-olds, and you meet force with force, and you use your life skills to deal with the problem. So anyway, long story short, I sent every senator and every representative a letter over that, and I sent them an email, and I got 3 or 4 responses back. And so I printed up a bunch of flyers and showed the damage, and I went up there and I hand delivered 100 flyers to every desk I could find up there at the Capitol. And they, the long
right, Mark,
short of
we're,
it,
we're,
I was,
Mark, we're going to have to go to break, so I want you to hold that thought, and when we come back, I want to refocus on what happened yesterday.
Okay.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We'll continue with my interview with my friend Mark Cosby, who was at the melee at the Capitol yesterday. Folks, what you may not know about Mark is he is a great grassroots activist. You know these signs you see all over the place, all over the state, actually, that say Oregon Pushback or DearOregon.com? Those are all Mark. Mark's put them all up. He goes and raises the money for them. And he goes out and he travels all over the state as a volunteer, not getting paid for this, to do that because he cares. So I ask you this question at the beginning of the show. if this is not about Trump and it's really about you, and the courts fail and the politicians fail you and all of these options for you to preserve your liberty, if they're all gone from you, what's left for you to do? Will you roll over and just let the politicians and the bureaucrats and the courts engage in tyranny and remove your liberty from you? Or are you going to stand and fight? What are you going to do? Are you going to show up at the Capitol? Are you going to go show up at a judge's house on his sidewalk or a bureaucrat? And are you going to protest him? What are you going to do? Let's go back to Mark. Mark, so I wanted to ask you, you know, all the news reports are saying the state police say that they only used pepper spray after our people inside that foyer room used spray, pepper spray, on them. In fact, one of the guys was arrested for doing that. Is that what you heard from within the group? What were you hearing about that? Anything?
Nothing. Nothing. However it came about that we breached the building, I mean, there was a gal in a window of the Capitol. Now, I guess I'd have to inspect that window a little closer, but the window was open and she was standing on a shelf. There's a shelf on the outside of the window, which is 5 feet off the ground. And she wasn't going in. Apparently there were officers standing there. You couldn't see them from the outside, but she committed to go in. Now, about that time, one of the representatives came out the door. I say went in. I don't know what happened with her. But the door became open, and the police were at the door most of the time I was there. I was less than 30 yards from it. I stayed back, case of pepper spray. You know, I had real trouble with the smoke from all these forest fires.
Right.
So, you know, pepper spray, not really on my diet. My lungs won't deal with that kind of stuff. So anyway, so I was observing from down the sidewalk, and then people started going in. I thought, well, we got access to the building. Well, they went into the first room there, which isn't a big room. And then they had some more glass doors. You go into a hallway on the first floor of the Capitol. And I've seen video where the police were SWAT team was standing up against them. And when you look at the pictures, you're seeing older people in that lineup, not necessarily teenagers, college age, but so I don't have any privilege to what would happen inside the building. But the police drove a SWAT vehicle down the Court Street, which runs westbound across the Capitol. It's three lanes wide. And they drove a vehicle down telling everybody to vacate, that we were a unlawful assembly, and leave or we'd be arrested. Well, some of the people retreated down to the sidewalk, and some of the people, not necessarily label, some of them are new activists. Some of them have been spending years downtown Portland interacting with Antifa and law enforcement. And so they have a history of watching the police stand down and let the rioters have their way in the streets. So their
attitude was they weren't going to let this happen to them?
Yeah. They wanted, you know, they wanted their voices heard. They wanted the Constitution respected. Listen, really good people in that group.
Were people angry, Mark? Were they angry?
You had various factions. I suppose that's true in any group of people. You have people who have been fighting us for 4 years in the streets now. And you got individual. I mean, Patriot Prayer was there.
Yep.
One.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The guy conducts himself very well. But I mean, you could write a volume of transgressions if you just followed his videos and seen how he conducted himself.
So, last question for you, because we got about 45 seconds left here. Based on what you heard and comments from other people after it was kind of over, do you think people are going to come back and continue to protest?
Oh, I think so. I think justifiedly so. I mean, when the people pulled off the door, they went down on the sidewalk area, and conversations continued, and people were being civil. Even the ones that had been paintballed wrongly. And, you know, we were there for about 5 hours of the police driving down the street saying, leave or be arrested. And they never did. They finally opened up the street, and I decided I could drive off then. So I left. I wasn't going to leave. We made a stand, and we had a right to be in that building.
You're right, Mark. And that's the concluding time. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll have to let you go. Thank you, friend. I appreciate you spending time with us today.
Thank you.
That's Mark Cosby. Back in a moment, folks. I want to talk a little bit more about this. If you were at the protest yesterday, I'd love to hear your comments, too. Back in a moment, 7:30.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Like this one I got from my old buddy, the hydraulic cartoon guy. It's a series of cartoons. And he writes, and I'll describe them to you in a moment here, because they're really relevant to today. This is what he writes. He says, this is a good example of Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire song. He said, I did these cartoons in 2006. Folks, that was 14 years ago, right? What are the cartoons? Well, the first one is a couple of politicians standing there smoking cigars with drinks in their hands. They're facing each other, and one of them says to them, the thing you'll like the most about being in politics is you don't ever have to feel responsible. Oh, how true. The next one is Uncle Sam standing there with his hands handcuffed together. And there are 45 automatic pistols, one on one side of his head, one on the other, being held on the left and on the right by the word Democrat, or an arm that says Democrat on it, and Republican on the other side. And both of the guns have written on it, well, the one from the Democrat says for the people, and the one from the Republican says by the people. Guns held to the head of Uncle Sam, who's got his hands handcuffed. And you want to talk about prophetic. Couple of Chinese guys wearing Chinese hats, both of them holding up shirts that say, I love China. And the one Chinese guy says to the other, Mine says made in the USA on the tag. Folks, that was in 2006. And the final one is our old buddy Kim Jong-un, the crazy dictator of North Korea, who's sitting on Santa's lap, and he says, I want a puppy, a kitty, and a BB gun, and a nuclear device, and a new bike, and an Xbox, and a skateboard. Yikes. Corby writes me an email about illegals. By the way, if you want to send me an email, I'll do my best to read it on the air. It's Jeff at 1220.am. He says, illegals, it's called conquering from within. Yeah. Now, I'm going to go back to my point, because I need to make a statement here, because I do not want anybody to misunderstand me. I am not advocating for revolution, folks. We do not want to go down that road. What happened yesterday at the Capitol was good in terms of people showing up and protesting. It was bad in that some of those people decided to do things they shouldn't have done, including break windows, use pepper spray on police officers, about as dumb as you can get, and take down that fence. Yeah, they should have been there. And as Mark pointed out in his comments, you know, even though the cops were telling them this is an unlawful assembly, you either leave or you get arrested, when they stood on the sidewalk, cops didn't do anything to them because they knew they couldn't. And you know what? You know, the Oregon State Police and law enforcement in general, I have the greatest of respect for it. I know a lot of state cops, and they're professionals. But they have to protect the legislators, and they're not the ones making the policy here, folks, that says, as Mark pointed out, the Capitol belongs to us, the taxpayers. We, the people, have a constitutional right to be in it, observing the floor session. We do. Now, that's why I ask Mark the question at the end. So what's going to happen? Are we going to have more protests? From what he was hearing from people who were part of this event yesterday, this melee, which has made national news, it's all over the place. And the Breitbart story that I have shows numerous videos. It's up on my Facebook page. You can click on the link and away you go. But my point is this. I ask him, so are people going to come back and keep protesting? And his answer was yes. Now, at that protest yesterday, were elderly people, there were children. No kidding. Somebody with a pitchfork was there with an American flag on it. Good for them. Boy, doesn't that just say everything, right? Well, it should. So I'm going to go back to the question from the listener. If everything fails, and it's not just Trump's election, and how all of this is going to play out, I don't know how it's going to play out, but if it all fails, friends, what's the answer? What do we do? What do we have left if it all fails? If you can't trust elections because they're rigged, if you can't trust the courts because the judges are either afraid, like many of these federal judges, some of them Trump appointees, by the way, that have refused to hear the actual evidence of the cases. Did you know that not a single lawsuit yet has heard the evidence? Did you know that, folks? It's true. There have been little bits of evidence that have been presented, but judges don't want to get involved. When you can't trust the courts, and you certainly can't trust the politicians, what do you have left? It's not about Trump, folks. It's about you. What happened at the Capitol yesterday wasn't about Trump. That was about we the people being shut out. Now, I'm not the only person saying that. Yesterday, Senator Dallas Hurd, who came out, and there's a video of him out front talking to the protesters, okay? He made a grand statement on the floor of the Senate. He said this, and I quote, this is from the Breitbart News story. This is yet another illegitimate session in which you, the Democratic majority, have declared the people unfit to participate in person in their own Capitol building. Let the record reflect that I am in fierce opposition to any legislation that this illegitimate assembly may pass today. You will be held accountable for this in the coming years. I declare my right to protest against your false authority and remove my mask. And he took off his mask. And then he said, quote, I will stand here for 30 seconds while you decide if you are fascist, willing to use the government to force and override my rights, or to prove that you are nothing more than bullies and false authorities. Kudos, Dallas. Senator Dallas Hurd from Roseburg. Kudos. That needed to be said, don't you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Today, this particular hour is brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial. The SunderlandAgency.com is the website. It's S-U-N-D-E-R-L-A-N-D, SunderlandAgency.com. You know, truly, you need to be thinking about balancing your financial portfolios, and Bill can help you do that. In a common sense, in a logical way, given kind of where we are and what's going on in the world and so forth. SunderlandAgency.com, Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, 503-885-0789. 503-885-0789. Give him a call. You know, it's free. Just have him check up, sit down and talk. Well worth your time. Bill Sunderland. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, you're back with us. What do you say now?
Yeah, my second bite of the apple with Stacey. Oh, I got to turn the radio down. It's feedbacking. But this reminds me of one of the old saints had a story. I thought it was great. It really fits. It's Nana and Gertrude. They said, we don't like that house of your repute down the street. The boys and the girls and the kids are going over there and getting in trouble. Let's pray, Nana, that God would destroy this wicked place. So they prayed. 2 weeks later, they look and it's still there. Nana, let's pray again. Maybe the Lord will destroy this house of your repute. A few weeks later, they look, it's still there. Then they said, let's pray again. They pray. But Nana, or Gertrude says to Nana, Nana, where are you going with that gallon of gasoline and matches? She says, I'm going to put some foot to my prayers. In other words, there comes a point when you have to change your tactics. And I think that's what you're trying to get to. Without violence, but with the levity, it does have to step up somehow because they're not getting the message. That's what I'm hearing and seeing the people doing at the people's house. They're not getting the message. We got to put some foot to our prayers.
Amen. Well said. Nonviolently, of course. But you're right. That's why I say pray and be active. Back in a moment. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220.
That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Lines are full. It is 10 minutes till the top of the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get into what's in the porculus. If you're not angry about it yet, you need to be, and you probably will be. I mean, seriously, folks. Hey, by the way, Eric Azer is a great local businessman who owns Righteous Renovations. He's a contractor you can trust because he puts his faith, well, in how he treats you as his customer. So if you want, say, a remodel done on your home or, you know, maybe a kitchen, bathroom remodel, you want it done right, you want it done the way you want it done, he's your guy. Check out his website, RighteousRenovations.com. RighteousRenovations.com. Wolfie sends me an email, says, was the $33 million to Venezuela a reward for the Venezuelan voting machine manufacturer for assisting Biden to steal the election? Yeah, maybe you could think of it that way. Second question is, how can they verify the illegal aliens? Are they registered as such, or could this be a trick to flush out the illegals? Well, you know, all you have to do is look at the states like ours that have passed laws that allow illegals to get provisional driver's licenses. Yeah. They're illegals. That's how you verify them. Could it be a trick to flush them out? No, I think it's just a buy-off, and I think it is a huge mistake because what it will do is increase the surge that's happening at the border right now. Illegals coming across. That's what it'll do, folks. That's why Trump needs to veto this whole thing. To the phones. We'll start with Art. Art, go.
Hey, Jeff. First of all, that comment you made about Oregon not being bad as the national level, I disagree with you. It's just as bad, but it's on a smaller scale because, of course, you know, we don't have as much money as the feds do, but it's just as bad because they waste a whole heck of a lot of our money. Just like this crazy thing they're doing with this renter's relief garbage and all this other stuff. There's a lot of people out there taking advantage who are still working and not paying their rent, which is a travesty. I mean, during this whole pandemic, Jeff, and I've lost a lot of money, I've still paid my house payment, all my bills, and everybody should be responsible for their own upkeeping, and we shouldn't be telling people who rent property that they ought to eat 20%, like you said yesterday, of that money. It's wrong. And there's another loser in this crazy thing that's going on, and that's the taxpayer. Me, I don't have a rental property, Jeff. However, all this money they're spending is going to come out of my pocket, what little taxes I'm going to be able to pay because Kate Brown keeps our economy shut down, so I'm not making as much money, but we're all going to pay for this dang fiasco.
You're right. And, you know, it's good for you, and I appreciate your call because I'm going to let you go. I got to move on to Rebecca and then Tim. In all seriousness, good for you for doing the right thing. And it just angers me like it does not only you and other people that other people are going to get by free using my money. They don't
have to
do what I've done responsibly. And it's just wrong. All right, I got to let you go. Let's move on to Rebecca.
Day,
Rebecca, good morning to you. And, what do you say?
Good morning. I'm calling because that what's happening right now is is the people trying to force their way in when the people have locked them out And Dallas Hurd is right there in the middle of it, and I'm just so pleased with him having spoken the way he spoke. It's just wonderful to have somebody speak so clearly. But when we were allowed into the building, they had already passed this Rule 27 that was a whole list of things we were not allowed to talk about. And then at the bottom of the list of things on Rule 27, it said, not limited to these. So that to me is very much, that they passed by law and in the method, you know, they put it through the hearings and did all the things that they were supposed to do to get that passed. And it's very amazing to me that it was passed, because it says this list of things that you can't talk about, and then at the bottom of the list it says not limited to these. So you
it's
can get into
highly unconstitutional
about things that are important to you.
You know, if that ever got in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, it would be struck down as it should be. That's an absolute violation of your First Amendment right. Thanks, Rebecca. I appreciate it. Got to move quickly to Tim. Tim, good morning. What do you say today?
Good morning, Jeff. Because of the hour and everything, what are we going to do to support someone like Senator Hurd? If we have people that do that kind of stuff, what are we going to do for him?
Well, good point. We need to call his office, email his office, and say thank you for standing up and saying the right thing. And then secondly, if he runs for higher office, which he might do, support him then.
We might tell him right now that we would support him.
Absolutely. You know, there's a governor's race in 2022 here in Oregon. There's a U.S. Senate race. I mean, who knows, right? Congress. He's in Peter DeFazio's district. Although, until DeFazio decides it's time to hang it up, I doubt if a Republican can win there. It's really tough. But yeah, I mean, you could call his office. You could email him and say, I support what you're doing. And if you want to run for a higher office, count me in. That would be a way of doing it. Thank you, Tim. Great point. Finally, somebody stood up and said what needed to be said, folks. Now, there's a great piece as we go to the top of the hour break in the American Thinker. I didn't include it in the show plan, but it really, it's a piece called by Steve McCann. It's called The Biggest Political Blunder in American History. And basically what it says is what the Democrats and the cabal of media, social media have done is created a permanent enemy in us, we the people. I want to read you the last paragraph, because this is what we're talking about with what happened at the Capitol yesterday and people feeling nobody's paying attention to them, and why what Dallas Hurd said was so right on. Here's the last paragraph. The bitter harvest of a massive election fraud will be a government beset with an inability to govern, as it will have no goodwill with the bulk of the American people and a political base it cannot placate. The perpetrators of this fraud are predestined to fail, as well as hasten the ultimate demise of the Democrat Party. The only issue outstanding is whether the nation will descend into chaos and bitterness as a result. I pray truly that does not happen. One more hour to go, folks. Don't go away.